We're turning this evening to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 22 for our Bible reading. Proverbs chapter 22, and we'll begin our reading here at the verse number 1 of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse number 1. The Word of God says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honour and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall feel. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange woman is a deep pit, he that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Amen, and God will bless the reading of his word. Let's just seek the Lord briefly in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we just leave this gospel service with thee. Lord, we pray that we might know divine help and assistance in the preaching of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to make much of our Savior. Grant, dear God, the illuminating of the mind, the opening of the understanding, the regenerating of the heart, the embracing of the sinner of Jesus Christ. And grant, dear God, this night to be a great and a glorious night in some individual's life, whereby they pass from the kingdom of darkness. Is translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So answer prayer. Lord, speak not only in this car park, but in the community. And Lord, all who can hear, whether at home or those who are listening in the local vicinity, use, O God, thy word to bring conviction of sin upon the soul. For we offer prayer in and through our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen and amen. Contrasting responses to the coming calamity. Contrasting responses to the coming calamity. That's the title for my message tonight in the gospel. And the text from which I want to preach from is found in Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse number 3. There we read, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Varied can be our responses to the events of life. There are those who have a carefree spirit that really allows them to go through this life free from any worry or from any fear. And then there are others who are found on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and they find themselves analyzing everything in life, and they prepare for all eventualities, for every event in life. Well, in our text this evening, our attention is drawn to two different kinds of people, the prudent and the simple, and that we find that their responses, they vary. They contrast greatly when it comes to the approach of evil. As I thought of the words of our text, I considered the difference that there is between the Christian and the sinner when it comes to preparing for the great day of evil, the great day of judgment that is soon to take hold of this world. Now, there are a number of matters that I want us to consider tonight in the gospel as we consider the individuals mentioned within our text and their contrasting responses to the coming calamity. I want you to notice in the first place the contrast with respect to their natures. The contrast with respect to their natures. As I've said, there are two kinds of people that are found in our text this evening. The first are termed as being prudent. The second are termed as being simple. And these are terms that are reflective. They are terms that are reflective of the nature of these particular individuals. Now, the Hebrew word for prudent can be used in both a negative and a positive sense. In a negative sense, it really speaks about someone who is crafty, someone who is shrewd or subtle, who uses their minds to devise evil plans. However, it can be used in a positive way. It is used of one who is wise in applying knowledge to the practical situations in life. And it is the latter way, the positive way, that this word must be viewed when we consider it within the context of Proverbs in the chapter number 22. It speaks of an individual who is wise, someone who is sensible, someone who applies wisdom to all of the decisions that they make in life. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines prudent as being sensible and careful when you make judgments and decisions, avoiding unnecessary risks. Those who exercise prudence then are those who act with or show care and forethought with respect to the things that are yet future. Let me give you a number of examples in the normal affairs of life where people use prudence to guide their affairs. The prudent householder will repair the hole in the roof while the weather is fair, instead of waiting for some storm or for the rain to appear. Advantage of the wind and the tide, and so that sailor will put the vessel out to sea and does not wait until the storm arises on the sea before he would ever launch the vessel. I think of the prudent hillwalker who uses prudence as he journeys or takes time on his journey and minds his pace as the day progresses, making sure that he gets home before night ever falls and before darkness ever takes him. I think of the prudent bricklayer who considers the weather before he orders the mortar for the day. Too cold and the mortar will not set, too windy and wet, and the day's work will be destroyed because of the wind and the rain collapsing the wall. I think of the prudent housewife who, knowing that visitors are arriving days beforehand, she will begin to prepare food and clean the house from top to bottom. I think of the prudent student who doesn't leave their revision to the last moment, but prepares that study timetable and sticks to the timetable months and weeks leading up to that examination or to those exams. All of these examples from modern day life shows that prudence is a very valuable, a very worthy thing to possess. Making sure that whenever the event comes within the future, that the preparation has been made, that forethought and foresight has been given with respect to that which is future. So when it comes to be the present, the event takes place, then they are prepared. They're ready for that particular thing. Now, if prudence be used with regard to the temporal matters of life, then, friends, tonight, should prudence not also be used when it comes to the spiritual matters of life, which are of an infinitely greater importance? Let me inquire of you tonight, are you a prudent individual? with regard to your soul, with respect to salvation and God's offer of mercy. Let me ask you, are you a prudent individual? Are you one who looks ahead? Are you an individual who foresees what needs to be done and sets in place that which is required in the temporal things of life? I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're not carefree. I'm sure you're not, as it were, que sera, whatever will be, but rather you say within your soul, preparation must be made. I must prepare for that which is before me. I'm sure there are individuals and you're prudent with your money. You're prudent when it comes to what you purchase. I'm sure you're prudent, those farmers among us tonight, whenever you buy some new livestock, whether they be cattle or sheep or pigs, I'm sure you don't buy just anything, but rather prudence guides your purchase. I'm sure there are individuals and you're prudent with regard to your earthly investment. Prudence whenever it comes to your children's education. Prudent when it comes to those business expansion plans. But let me ask you, does that prudence, does it carry over into the spiritual? Are you prudent when it comes to the spiritual things of life? Are you shrewd? Are you sensible? Are you wise when it comes to preparing for God's eternity? Has prudence guided you when it comes to what you're going to do about your sin and how you're going to meet God at the judgment? You see, it is the prudent one who allows themselves to be confronted with the truths that they are a sinner, and that there is a God, and that there is a judgment that they're going out to, and that they are incapable of bringing themselves into that right standing and that right state before God. And being prudent and understanding these things, it is then that prudence that leads that individual to prepare for the future, lest death or the coming of Christ should overtake them at any moment. It is the prudent soul that makes preparation. It is the prudent soul that makes use of the present time. It is the prudent one who repents of their sin. It is the prudent one who trusts in Christ so that whenever they come to die, that they have nothing to do but die. Oh, may prudence guide your decision with regard to the gospel tonight. Oh, may you be prudent and prepare for the coming evil. But the second individual that we find within our text, if you note there the words in the verse 3 once again, we speak or we see or we're brought to consider the individual who is termed the simple. The simple. James Strong translates the word simple to mean silly, to mean seductible, to mean foolish. The root word from which this word simple is derived from means to be open, to be spacious, to be wide. You see, the simple person is the one who is wide, who is open to all kinds of enticements and seductions to sin. The simple one is the one who doesn't have enough wit, who doesn't have enough discernment, who doesn't have enough intelligence or enough prudence to properly evaluate what the consequences of their decisions are likely to be when it comes to sin and the rejection of Jesus Christ and His gospel. They have no wit. They have no understanding, they have no discernment, no prudence with regard to these things. They are simpletons. I put it to you, sinner, tonight, that you show and you evidence your simplicity when you make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14 verse 9 tells us that fools or the simple make a mock at sin. It is the fool, the simple one, who laughs off their sin. And by doing so, sinner, you simply evidence that you are one of these simple ones. You evidence your sin not only by evidence your simplicity not only by making a mock of sin, you evidence your simplicity by making light of sin. The one who exhibits levity, the one who exhibits flippancy, a lightness with regard to sin, whatever that sin would be, is the one who shows and evidences that they are a simple one. Yes, and you evidence your simplicity when you make no preparation for your sin. Well aware are you that your sin has set you on a collision course with the Almighty. Well aware are you that your sin is an offense to God. Well aware are you that your sin will take you to hell, and yet you remain in that sin. You cleave to that sin. You indulge in that sin. You make provision for that sin in full light of where that sin will take you. Don't let not your behavior show how simple you are. Because you mock sin. You make light of sin. You make no preparation. No, this is the height of folly. This is the height of foolishness for a sinner to know that they're lost and undone and yet to remain in their sin. This is the action of a simpleton, of a simple one. No preacher ever sets out really to offend his hearers. And yet I must put it to you tonight, if you are still in your sin, that God places you in the category of the simple. You're an individual who is void of understanding. There's no wit, no discernment, no rather foolishness is bound up in that heart of yours. We read about it there in the words of verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and that foolishness has continued through your adolescence and now right into your adulthood, because that foolishness with regard to sin has not been turned from. You have yet not been made wise on to salvation. And so tonight finds you as the simple one, the simple person, the simple individual. But the wonderful news of the gospel is this, that God has given us something that confronts and deals with our simplicity and with our simple hearts. Is it? But the Word of God. In Psalm 19 in the verse 7, we read, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's testimony about sinners and God's testimony about the Savior of sinners is sure. It's firm. It's fixed, and the receiving of that testimony and the believing of that testimony results in the simple being made wise unto salvation. Oh, then, that you, the sinner, would tonight believe the testimony of God about you, that you're lost, that you're undone, that you're ruined, that you're polluted, that you're totally depraved, that you're utterly helpless, that you're fit fuel for hell. But that in conjunction with the testimony about yourself, you would also believe the testimony concerning God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is that willing and that ready and that able Savior of sinners. Praise God, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Or to be made wise through the preaching of the gospel tonight. Or to be brought out of your simplicity by the Spirit of God. Or that tonight the Holy Ghost would illuminate that mind of yours, and you'll be brought to an understanding of your true state before God as a sinner, as one that is a candidate for God's hell, one that is deserving of God's judgment, as you have violated and transgressed his law on a daily basis, and that you would understand that Christ is able to save your precious and never dying soul. And so I ask you tonight, I ask you this evening, with the gospel and all that has been purchased by Christ, offered to you in the gospel, I ask you this question that is asked in the Word of God. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? How long will you love it? How long will you love your simplicity? All that you would have done with your simplicity tonight. In this moment you'd be made wise unto salvation through the work of the Holy Ghost within that soul of yours. And so we have the contrast between their natures. But there is a second contrast that is to be noted within our text. And so consider with me in the second instance the contrast with respect to their insight. The contrast with respect to their insight. There is something that the prudent man is said to do within our text. Note the words again at the commencement of the verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. He foreseeth the evil. It's the word foreseeth that identifies for us what the prudent man does. They discern. They behold. They consider. They perceive, they regard, they view what is before them. These are individuals who don't go around the world with their eyes closed and their eyes shut. No, rather, these are individuals who go about their business and go about the world with their eyes wide open. These are people who foresee danger. These are individuals who anticipate peril. And in doing so, they make preparation for it. We have an example of such a prudent approach to coming danger given to us in this very book of Proverbs. That example is not supplied to us from a human being, but rather that example is supplied to us by one of the world's smallest animals, the ant. You turn there to Proverbs in the chapter 6, and the verse 6 through to 8, we read these words, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Note what the ant does there in the summer and in the harvest. We're told that she supplies her meat in the summer. She gathers the food in at the time of harvest. And why does she do it? She does it because of prudence. She does it because she understands and foresees the approaching winter. And she understands that her food supplies must be built up in the summer and in the harvest before the winter months come, when the food will be in short supply. The invaluable lesson the industrious ant then teaches us is that of foresight. The duty of rightly improving the passing moment, the wisdom of making the best of our opportunities, the responsibility of making good on the time that we have. This is what the little ant shows us. And yet I would say that the ant is wiser than some of you. Sinner, have you not seen and foreseen the evil that is approaching? And in light of such foresight, have you prepared for it? You may ask, what evil? What evil? What about the evil of death? It's approaching. Sooner or later, our names will appear in the death notice columns of some newspaper, whether local or national. It'll announce to the community that death has taken us from this world and into the next. It will say and declare to all that man's last enemy has removed us from time and has ushered us out into God's great eternity. What an evil death is. But I ask you this evening, have you foreseen its approach? Have you seen the approach of the evil of death? And have you made spiritual preparation for that day? What about the evil of the judgment? The scriptures speak of a day of accountability, a moment of reckoning, when we as individuals will give an account to ourselves before God for the lives that we have lived, the deeds that we have done, our response to the gospel and to the Christ of the gospel. I ask you, sinner, tonight, what about that evil day, the day of judgment, when you, your sins will meet you at the judgment bar of God? Let me ask you, will a verdict of guilty be passed when all the evidence is reviewed there? Have you foreseen the evil day of the judgment? What about the evil of hell? Hell is the greatest evil, the greatest calamity that awaits the unregenerate sinner at the end of a life of sin. It's fire, it's torment, it's duration, its occupants, its blackness, its darkness, its bottomless nature, its eternal duration, its unending night are but some of the things that compose of the great evil that awaits the sinner that dies in their sin and is cast into hell. I say that it is the prudent man, it is the shrewd woman, it is the sensible young person or child who foresees such evils that take the necessary action that sees them escaping such evils. In other words, it is the prudent one who turns from their sin and seeks God for salvation. They foresee the evil. They see it coming. Do you foresee the evil? You see it. Death. Judgment. And hell itself. But contrasted alongside the prudent man who foresees the evil, we have the simple one. And what is their response to the coming evil? Well, the text goes on to say that they pass on. Note the words. There, once again, in our text, the simple pass on. The simple pass on. In other words, they just continue to be as they've always been. They continue to live as they've always lived. They continue to walk through life as they've always walked through life. They stick to the road that they're on with no divergence, no change. No turning round. These are people who see the evil, but despite all of the warnings, their lusts and their curiosity and their passions and their selfishness drive them on to walk the path that will lead to their own hurt and to their eternal destruction. And we have examples of this in the Word of God. I believe the greatest example that we have of such a course of action, of simply passing on despite the warnings given, is there found in the book of Genesis. Noah, as a preacher of righteousness, he warned the people for 120 years that God was coming in judgment. He was coming to judge the world in righteousness. And yet, what was their response? They mocked. They laughed at God's servant. They continued to live as they always lived. They continued to pass on, passing by the warnings, neglecting those entreaties of God's servant to enter into the ark, lest the judgment would overtake them. Matthew tells us there in Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39, that before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage unto the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. We never read of them going to church. We never read of them seeking after God's servant for biblical counsel. We never see them seeking God for mercy, but rather they just ate and they drank and they married and they gave in marriage. In other words, they just lived as if judgment wasn't coming. Is not this 21st century Northern Ireland? Men and women are told that the judgment is about to come. Time on earth is drawing to a conclusion. The curtain is going to be brought down on this world. And God is going to come. And he's going to take vengeance on them that obey not God and that love not his gospel. And yet what does the ungodly do? They continue to live. They continue to gamble. They continue to live immoral lives. They continue to drink. They continue to eat. They continue to, as it were, live for this world and all that is in this world, the pleasures and the plaudits and the pride of this life. This is what they live for. And they just pass by. They drive by the open air. They laugh at the gospel preacher. They never come to God's house. No, they just pass on. And does not this best describe you, the sinner, and how you have responded to the warnings of the gospel? You simply passed on. You plod through life carelessly, unconcerned that at any moment of time the silver cord of life could be loosed, and on death you would find yourself eternally abandoned by God and everlastingly confined to hell's bottomless pit. Sinner, you pass on despite the pleas of a godly mother. You pass on despite the counsel of a godly father. You pass on despite the preaching of a faithful minister. You pass on despite the tears of a believing friend. You pass on despite the warnings that sound out from Holy Scriptures. You pass on despite the strivings of the Spirit of God. Can I say to you, sinner, beware. Because it may be that you will push past all of those things and you will pass on into hell. Sinner, do not be blind to your future. See it for what it is and turn from your sin and on to Christ this very moment. But I want you to notice in the final instance from our text another contrast, the contrast with respect to their end. With respect to their end, there is a contrast. Note the text again, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He hideth himself. He seeks a place of refuge. He looks out a place of safety. He secures for himself a hiding place that will see to the preservation of his life. The sense of danger, the danger that lies in front of him, leads him at once to seek out an effectual hiding place. Where can I hide from the approaching evil? It was prudence regarding an approaching evil that led the children of Israel to hide themselves under the blood of the Lamb in Exodus chapter 12. God had warned the people through Moses that the death angel was coming to slay the firstborn in every home. And the people took it to heart. They believed. And the people prudently prepared in the God-appointed way by applying the blood to the doorpost and the lintel off the home. They hid themselves under the blood. Thus they escaped the judgment of God. We can apply this in the gospel, can we not? We could say that it is the prudent man, the woman, teenager, boy, girl, who hides themselves in the only place of safety that God provides for the sinner. And what is that place of safety? It is the cross. The cross. There is where the sinner hides. There, sinner, is where you can hide tonight from death and from judgment and from hell itself. The cross of Jesus Christ. Because in the cross of Jesus Christ, there is a refuge for the sinner. But understanding that there's a refuge there is not enough. But instead, the prudent individual, they not only understand that there is a hiding place, but they themselves come to hide in that place of refuge. And they do so without delay, lest the day of opportunity closes and the door of mercy is shut on them. And so I ask you tonight, are you hiding in the cross of Christ? Christian is the one who has found that all other refuges have failed them. They have found that the only place of safety, the appointed city of refuge, the only shelter beneath which the wrath of God cannot touch them, is the cross of Jesus Christ. What a hiding place. What a hiding place the cross of Jesus Christ is. Sinner, run to it. Sinner, flee for refuge beneath it. Sinner, trust in the Redeemer who died upon it. So that when the evil comes, you will be sheltered from the billows of God's wrath. While the prudent hide themselves and are safe, the simple have a different end. Ah, the child of God is eternally safe. Thank God for that. They have hidden in Him. But the simple, we are told they pass on, and then note the words, and are punished. In these words, I see that the simple are guilty of self-destruction. Though warned of the coming evil, they stubbornly press on. And soon, they are brought to face the punishment for their actions and their deeds. As I thought of that, I thought of how many a sinner passes on through the day of God's grace. Steam rolls over the many barricades of warning that God places in their way, only for them to find that they are brought to eternal punishment for their sin. Sinner, pass through the warning signs. Step over the barricades. Push past the roadblocks that divine grace erects to spare you from eternal ruin. And you can be sure that you'll face the punishment of God for your sin. Matthew Henry said, "Nothing is so fatal to precious souls as this. They will not take warning." They will not take warning. Am I speaking to a stubborn sinner here tonight? One who sets at naught the counsel of God with regard to the gospel. Then beware. Continue on the road you're on, and you'll find yourself punished. And that everlastingly. I am told that the final eruption on Mount St. Helens in May 1980 was not a sudden event. For 2 months prior to the massive blast, earthquakes and volcanic activity signaled that a major event was underway beneath the mountain. The authorities had, therefore, plenty of time to sound the warning, and they issued directives to those living in the vicinity to leave their homes immediately. Danger was coming. And so they warned those living nearby of the looming danger. And yet, despite the seriousness of the threat, some people, they just chose to disregard those warnings. Probably the best known of those who refused to evacuate was a man by the name of Harry Randall Truman. He was 83 years of age and the owner of Mount St. Helens Lodge at Spirit Lake. Mr. Truman had survived the sinking of his troop ship by a German U-boat off the coast of Ireland during World War I. And he was not going to leave just because scientists said that there was some kind of danger. Truman was interviewed by reporters in the lead up to the eruption, and he said these words, "I don't have any idea whether it will blow or not, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up." And so Harry Truman stayed. On May the 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. And Truman and his lodge were buried beneath 150 feet of mud and debris from the volcanic eruption. His body would never be found. How many are like Mr. Truman when it comes to the gospel? The warnings are given. Escape for thy life. Look to Christ. Be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. And yet the sinner, in his pride and in his folly, he simply passes on. He simply passes by, unaware that they are passing on to judgment. May this night you heed the warnings. And in prudence, hide yourself in Christ and his crosswork. Because that is the only safe hiding place from the coming evil. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. God uses his word to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as you do so, if you're not a Christian and you would love to know Christ as your Savior, well, why not then make your need known? Just drive around the back of the church and then come round again. And I'll be here at the steps just to greet you and to speak with you. We'll be able to open the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. And so I make myself available to you tonight. And if you're watching in, message on their Facebook Messenger, make contact with us there at the manse, 02825-821-765. 02825-821-765. And we'll be there in some minutes' time, and we'll be delighted to speak to you about spiritual things. So let's seek the Lord, our loving Father. We pray that thou wilt make the simple wise tonight. Grant, Lord, prudence to be given. Grant, O God, the heart to be opened, the understanding, dear God, to be brought to that point of decision. Bring sinners to Christ, we pray. We'll do that which no preacher can do. Save the lost. Restore the backslider. And may in thy mercy many be brought into thy kingdom. Lord, answer prayer. And be with us on our homeward journey. For we pray these prayers in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen.